All right. Hey. Hello?
You hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, let me see. What the hell is it coming through my? It won't go through my headphones. Okay, but I guess I got to do it like this. Hello?
It wasn't going through your headphones.
Yeah, but it's cool now. I think it's loud enough. Can you hear me good?
Yep,
All right,
perfect.
cool. All right.
Right, so what's up? What's up, Brother Anonymous? I'm so glad we got you on the line today.
Yo, what's going on? Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. So what? It is the Golden Shaman here. Hey. And Brother Anonymous here today, and speaking on a couple of different topics. I believe we still gonna do the karmic debt, right?
We talk about karma. Yep, and like you said, a couple other topics.
Yo, it's gonna be a little bit loose, so it's gonna be free flowing too, because if we get a little bit off track, it is what it is. But this is my show. I make the rules. It's unedited and it's clear cut, straight to the point. So we gonna do what we wanna do. It don't matter. So I'm really happy that you were able to join us and we finally got to do this episode. It's a long, long time coming, and I'm
Long,
super geeked.
long, long time coming.
But we here now.
We are.
So the first thing that I wanted to kind of touch on and ask you about, so can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about, your background?
I grew up in the inner city. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And, if anybody went to public schools, I went to Catholic schools as well. But if anybody went to those public schools, honest, it was 30 to 35 children in the classroom. So a lot of times you didn't get the attention that you needed. And the curriculum didn't entertain me. I couldn't relate to it at all. So, when you're a young black male growing up in the inner city, you kind of like, you could struggle in school because you don't relate, a lot of times. And so I remember when I was younger, they put me in a couple classes that were like, they weren't remedial, but they would say stuff like, yeah, he just doesn't seem to be interested, or this is not keeping his interest. Maybe he needs a smaller school setting. So that was like my first cue. I remember when I was young, I thought like, you know what, it's not me, it's what you're teaching me. It's not holding my
Exactly.
attention. It's not me. So I always had a love for history, and I always knew that I was a spiritual being having a human experience, even as a young man. So like I said, growing up in the inner city, that was one of the things that actually motivated me to get on the spiritual path. Of course, you meet people throughout your journey, but that's one of the things that got me on the spiritual path. When I started to understand history is not anything but his story. And
Exactly.
I got the research, and then I kind of came into a knowledge of self.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up, bro. All right. Thank you very much for that background. So, what we just gonna just jump right into it. What do you feel karmic debt actually is?
Well, okay, I'm gonna speak on karma for a second and kind of get into that. So in a general sense, I think people know what karma is. Karma is an eye for an eye, cause and effect, the consequences of our actions. I think what a lot of people aren't aware of is in their day-to-day life, they don't think about the fact that karma is from our past life, our current life, and our future lives if necessary. So,
Correct.
on a day-to-day basis, I don't think people understand that you're accumulating debt when you do deeds that are unrighteous. As
Correct.
men and women, on this physical plane.
Exactly. I agree with that outlook as well. So my thoughts about the karmic debt is whatever choices you choose to make, like there, like you said, there are payment for those choices. Do you think that there's anything that you could do to like eliminate your debt?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you do unrighteous deeds, you have to do righteous deeds. I mean, it's pretty much like a check and balances type situation. I mean, I think the whole goal is for us to return to the source, if you want to call it the all, if you want to call it God, Yahweh, Yahshua, whatever it is, the source of our being, we want to return there. And when we're here on this physical plane, we're here, it's kind of like the training day. Like we're here and we're going through certain things in life and we make conscious decisions. I mean, a lot of people, you know how people are, they don't want to take accountability for their actions. Right. So they make it like everything is kind of unconscious. I didn't even know, I wasn't even thinking. Well, before we do things, a lot of times we do think and we know pretty much what the outcome is going to be because we have a desired outcome we want. But
exactly
when it comes to this karma thing, it seems like a lot of people don't realize that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So when you talk about being a spiritual being, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. You know what I mean? Correct. You know, and a lot of times we come in contact, and a lot of people on this physical plane are low vibrational creatures. So on a day-to-day basis, you're coming in contact with vultures, like you call them, energy vampires. I know that's one of your terms you use. You're coming in contact with a constant energy vampires and people that are low vibrational creatures, people that are bottom feeders, vultures, or whatever you want to call them. And their job is to make sure you don't return to the source. Like you're supposed to be on their level, their vibration, their frequency. And when it comes to karma, I think you have to be very aware of your interactions when you're dealing with people. I mean, on a day-to-day basis. I mean, that's why I said being a spiritual being is a lot of responsibility, you know, that's because you're it's almost like you're chosen to vibrate higher than some of these people on the same plane, you know, that you're on.
That's true.
When you walk the righteous path.
That's definitely true. I most certainly agree with that because universal laws are definitely applied to karmic debt, and those things are vibrational, which are parts of energy. So, of course, whatever you're vibrating to the universe, you're going to receive that back. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it is your job as a spiritual being to take the higher route, even though sometimes it's extremely difficult not to.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's difficult like dealing with people, but I definitely agree with you. Like every day is a test, especially when you decide like, oh, I'm going to work on this, that, and the third. Then you're going to go through a series of tests that are like, oh, you want to work on this? So let me just throw this at you and see if you really trying to work this matter out within yourself or not, or how you are going to react to the next situation. If we keep on throwing the same thing to you over and over again and you keep on failing it, then like, oh, okay, how are you going to move forward from this lesson?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true. And another thing that I notice with people is a lot of people who are on the spiritual path, when they get around people who are vibrating low or people who are unaware, it seems that they tend to like try to shrink themselves, and there's nothing divine about shrinking yourself to make somebody else feel comfortable. A lot of times we do that though, because you can be, you know, overly conscious. So a lot of people don't want to be the smartest person in the room or the person who's a little bit different. But like I said, there's no point in you being a person who wants to fit in when you were born to stand out. It's a chosen thing. I mean, they choose you. You're chosen for your path. You know, we all know that. You know, it's a divine path.
Correct. So
a lot of times people don't understand that, you know. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
So I always, you know, bro, I got hella relationship issues.
Yeah.
And You like, yeah,
Yeah.
shaking my damn head. Do you ever wonder if like relationships like tend to mirror yourself? Like, I know you and your wife, like y'all relationship is like, I always think that it's like super cool and it's like super dope because y'all really just give each other so much space to be yourselves. But do you feel like she in any way mirrors you?
I felt like we just, it's crazy because like literally like 45 minutes ago, we just had a conversation about that, how we're totally different. Like we are, me and her are totally different. I mean, for real. But like you said, the thing about it is, and I told her this, I said, when people are in relationships, they forget that when you're in a relationship, you have to relate to the person. And a lot of times we don't relate to each other. Just because you relate to me doesn't mean you have to follow me in everything I do, or me and you have to have the same opinion about certain things. I think when you accept the person for who they are, and you try, if they have shortcomings and you try to help them to become a better person, then I mean, that's love. Because at the end of the day, you're saying, I see you fucked up right now, or I see you kind of struggling with this, but I'm going to help you. But I love you for who you are. You know what I mean? So with
Exactly.
me and her, that's how it is. I'm more into meditation at one point in time. She was into religion. Well, not just she, a few years now, she hasn't been to the church or whatever, but that was a conscious decision she made based off knowledge that she did. I wasn't pressuring her, you know what I mean, to not, you know, be in the church. It was like, hey, if you're going to the church, go to the church. But she kind of saw it herself. You know, that's just an example of how you don't put a person in a situation where they're pinned into a corner and they feel pressured. You know what I mean? In a relationship. You know what I mean? Yeah, but me and her are totally different. Like it's crazy. But that just shows you that love is real. Like when you don't have to try, she doesn't try to like get on my level. I don't get on her. Like she'll talk to me about certain things that I'm into, and I'll talk to her about certain things, and we just keep it there. Like we keep it like neutral. Like you know what I mean? Like there's no like, you know, if you don't see it the way I see it, we got to argue. Instead of arguing, we communicate. You know what I mean? Like it's different. Yo. Can't hear you, sis. Yo.
Hello? Can
Yeah.
you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, my bad. So I was saying, like, what do you feel like? You don't feel like y'all mirror each other in any way or in anything, like to overlap it of any like from this is these are still like from a karmic stance or anything like that. Do you understand what I'm
I feel like
saying?
she's driven and I'm driven in different ways. Like me, I'm all about holistic health, so I'm always into working out. She hates working out, but she works out because she don't want to be fat. It's just a simple fact. You know, she doesn't really care about really working out and all that stuff, but she'll do it because she doesn't want to be. And when it comes to like business and getting things done, she's like me when it comes to working out. You know what I mean? She's like head on, like go through the wall, like she goes super hard. You know what I'm saying? So we marry each other in certain ways, but it's like different things. You know what I mean? Like yeah, different types of things we do. You know, kind of similar, but yeah, just like a little different.
All right. That's what's up. That's what's up. So, like, I feel like what some things that people might not understand, like how you stated earlier, like your past lives, your parent issues and concerns, they might and then things that were put on you while you were in the womb, generational things are like also help to form karma for you as well. And a lot of people might not know about those things, and sometimes you might feel stuck in something, and like, I don't even understand where this is coming from or why I even feel this way. But like, I feel like the older I get and the more that I look at my family and different things that have occurred and different behaviors that they have, they really like shaped me to be a certain way. And then I could look at myself and understand so much more like why I, you know, react to certain things the way that I react and why I might be dealing with my life in a certain way, even though their setup was different and the way that how they approached their lives, like situational wise, the way they approached their lives, it looks different, but you know, the way we interact with each other is kind of like the same, being that we all come from, you know, the same place.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. I
don't
know if that makes sense.
No, I know what you mean. I definitely believe in that. I definitely believe that sometimes the parents are the child's karma and sometimes the children are the parents' karma. But like you said, I think us going through that psychological trauma due to chattel slavery, of course, that's one of the issues. We have a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of plantation behavior that on a daily basis you see in the Black community. And what's really tragic about it is this whole karma thing. This karma is a thing where it seems like a lot of people don't understand the basis of karma. To me, is the fact that we are trapped in our desires. So, you know, what you see, what you feel, what you taste, what you hear, what you smell, our desires, they overwhelm our mind, and then our minds enslave our souls. So if you don't have control, if you don't have control over your mind, then you're almost guaranteed to have to come back here. Then you start to think about who's controlling your mind. And we know Big Brother's controlling the masses, you know,
for real.
You know, through propaganda, media, you know, videos, religion, economics, they control every aspect of our day-to-day lives. Now, I tell people, and I think me and you had a conversation about this. If I'm your enemy and I know about spirituality, because believe it or not, they know about spirituality. They know more about us than we know about us. They know about spirituality, and they know about low vibrational things, and they know about desires, and they know about it. Your desires overwhelming your mind, and your mind enslaving your soul. They know about these things. So if I want you to come back here, to return here, you know, over and over, I can almost make sure that can happen if I control your mind. So
exactly,
it's psychological warfare. And what people don't understand is there are 8,400,000 different species on this planet. You could come back as anything.
That's crazy. Give me one second, bro. Go ahead. I apologize.
No, that's cool.
So you said, how many species are there? That's important. That's a, that's
400,000 and probably more now, different species on this planet. So when you hear somebody say, that's my dog, I'm a savage, I'm a bad bitch, you're going to come back as a savage, a dog, a bad bitch. You know what I'm saying? A dog, female dog.
Yeah.
We don't understand it. You know, whenever you operate from the, you know, your lower self, the lower vibrational part of you, and that's usually your fucking reproductive organ, when you're not using it properly. When you operate from there and it's lust-based, you're almost guaranteeing that you're going to come back here. Because if you think like that, what are you going to teach your seed? You just spoke on DNA, basically.
That's true.
And us inheriting karma through that. So at the end of the day, you're teaching this child is going to grow up and see the mother or the father in various relationships with different men or women, or maybe two men or maybe two women. You know, things are kind of strange nowadays. So,
yeah,
you know, the child is going to see this and they're going to think that's proper behavior, and they're going to go out and they're going to emulate it. So at the end of the day, it's like you're almost guaranteeing that your child's going to come back here. 8,400,000 different species. That's the possibilities are crazy.
Yeah, that's like infinity and beyond in my mind.
Infinity. So what if you had to come back as 8,400,000 different species?
That really, that just sounds too scary to me.
It's scary. It really is scary. And going into my another point about karma, pork on the fork. At the end of the day, sus, you know, oh yeah, for everybody, I'm vegan. I don't eat meat, no animal-based products. But at the end of the day, pork on a fork is terrible for several reasons. Not just pork, but any animal. Whenever someone kills an animal and someone else eats that animal, your body is a graveyard. Whenever someone eats that animal, you're accumulating karmic debt. It is not possible for something to die for you to live and you don't have to pay for it. You can never get something for nothing.
True.
Somebody got to pay. And you're the guy who killed it, you know, at the slaughterhouse is going to pay for it. And you're going to pay for it because you're sitting there at your family dinner with potatoes, peas, and a big ass cow on your plate. And at the end of the day, that animal is died a few deaths and it's going to die again in your stomach. And you're killing yourself as well as that animal was killed for you to live. And Big Brother profits off all of it. Your death, the animal dying and everything. The medical bills you're going to have because you're all messed up.
That makes, yeah, people really don't even want to hear about how their food affects their karmic debt because they don't really believe in those things. They don't really think that food carries weight or maybe has a soul or anything like that. Hello.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. They're not feeling like that's something that will affect them, but I definitely agree with you on that. Like, it took me so long to really, really stop. Well, I still be eating eggs. So I'm still, and then I'll be like, dang, you just really like, I'll be calling myself a savage, like, because how you just don't eat nothing but babies? Like, that's just really messed up. Yeah,
that's tough.
That's the worst thing. Like, I'm like, a vegetarian is really like, this is not a good person. But I just feel like I have to take it a step at a time. And it took me years upon years to even get to like being a vegetarian. So I got to take it a step at a time, like before I can get to veganism.
No, I hear you. And the way that I did it was I looked at it like warfare. I looked at it like psychological, physical, spiritual warfare. And I looked at it like these people are profiting off of my death. So when I looked at it like that, I said, man, I can't contribute to it. Like, they already are polluting the water, the air, everything. Everything around us is polluted. So true. I'm thinking, okay, anything that I can control in my life, I want to control in my life. I don't want to give you the power. I'm never that hungry where I can't drive an extra 10 minutes. You know what I mean? To get me some fruit, you know, or, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, you know, it's beans, quinoa, whatever the case may be, there's always, you know, a way for us to do it, but they make everything around us so convenient and then so cheap. You know, you can go to Crack Donald's anytime you want. Crack Castle, Crack Donald, Crack King. You can go to any of these places and for $5.99, you can kill yourself. That's what it should say on the fucking menu.
For $5.99, you can kill. You know what? If they start having slogans like that, what are you really saying here? Like, if they stop making everything so sexy and over-sexualized and like showing people smoking and looking like so fabulous and so great, if they start showing the reality of the situation, then I bet you we will all change our ways a little bit better and a little bit more. Like, show how like the alcohol, years upon years of alcohol abuse, how it affects your looks and how it will affect you know, your body all around instead of showing, you know, the beautiful people partying with the drink in their hand. Or they got this new Hennessy campaign where an athlete is riding a bike. I was like, what?
I saw that. Yeah, drinking Hennessy.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like it's Gatorade.
Right. This is not Gatorade, which I'm sure Gatorade's not the best for you either. But it's just like, it's so many death traps all around you. It's just like, damn, what can you eat? What can you drink?
Yep. And they have complete control. So anything we can control, we need to make sure we do. And I think once our people start looking at it, as a lot of people don't even understand that there's a war going on right now. I mean, from, like I said, religion. I mean, come on, man. Most of our people are over-churched. When you think about economics, we're at the bottom of the social ladder. When you talk about, you know, housing, we're at the bottom of the social ladder. You know, when you talk about politics, we're at the bottom of the social ladder. We are people, honestly, without a home, and they know that. So when you got somebody who's staying in your house, how do you treat them? You can treat them good or bad, however you want. That person ain't got nothing. That person gonna take whatever shit you give them. And that's kind of what we are. We built the house that we're living in, but they got us sleeping in the outhouse. It's kind of like, you know, that's not favorable. So I think once we start looking at it as a war, then we'll start understanding that, you know what, this karma thing is real. Because like I said, you know, this is a world full of illusion. Like you just said, it's a world full of illusion, trickery. And a lot of people are suffering, but they just want to suffer in peace. Right. And this whole karma thing, you don't want to, like I said, if you really think about it, that sandwich or treating somebody in a disrespectful way is not worth you coming back here. Like I said, 8,400,000 different species. That cockroach you killed could have been your cousin. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for real. That bird that shitted on your car could have been that chick you got into it with in high school. She, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you just
never know. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day,
I understand what you're saying. Like, if you look at every little aspect of it.
Yeah. Straight up. You know, so we need to start thinking like that, because like I said, there's definitely a war going on. And this karma thing is real. It's universal. No matter what color, ethnicity you are, it applies to all of us. Every living, breathing thing is under karmic rule. And that's something that everybody has to understand. You know what I mean? I know our people like to party and bullshit. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, we need to be aware of what's going on. Because like you said, there are a lot of death traps. And this karma shit right here, like I said, they have control over your desires. Like, if you don't control your mind, you have to think about who does. And that's why I say some people live 30, 40, 50 years and never have a single thought of their own. Everything they've ever thought was a thought somebody else put into their head. They never had their own single solitary thought of their own.
Right.
And if you think about that, every day you live, and you know a lot of people that are fucking arrogant, like they arrogant as hell. They think I'm listening. You know how the people are, like, rule governed by the ego. Like, I'm this, I'm that, dude. You're none of that. Like, you're none of that. You're not your clothes. You're not your car. You're not your hair. You're not your muscles. Me and you talk about that all the time. You're not that. This body that we're in, temporary, short stay. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, we need to wake up when it comes to that.
Wake up. For real. Yeah, and it's just... It goes so deep, and we can spend hours upon hours touching upon this. Did you have any other things that you wanted to share about karma or anything else that you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, like I said, it's different events in history. Like I said, chattel slavery, several things here, Jim Crow, civil rights movement, right now mass incarceration. Those are just a few. What happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rosewood, what happened in Philly with the MOVE organization. Several situations that have happened that honestly show you that Anglo-Saxons or Europeans are not your friend. They're not here to make you comfortable. They're not here to make sure your pillows are fluffed. So at the end of the day, at the end of the day, what we need to overstand, not understand, we need to overstand, stand over the situation and observe it. We understand too much shit. We stand under shit and be fucking up. We need to overstand that in this situation, you don't have an ally. You don't have a friend. We need each other more than ever now because honestly, every fucking thing we've tried has failed thus far.
Damn.
The one thing, everything we've tried, even like I said, even with the civil rights movement, what happened when Martin died? What happened when Malcolm died? Brothers was following the man instead of, you know, it's the movement. You know what I mean? True. Like, so at the end of the day, we need to understand that when it comes to this karma thing, if somebody took your grandfather's wallet and ran down the street, a lot of us would go get that man, beat his ass, and get our grandfather's wallet back.
Correct.
They've taken our grandfather, grandmother, ancestors' land. We ain't done shit about it. So at the end of the day, we need to understand they've killed them, raped them, beat them. Tarred and feathered them, lynched them. They've done so much to our people that we need to understand that we are their karma. That's the biggest thing. Hey, be as black as you can be on a daily, minute, second, hourly basis. Like, be the blackest fucking black you can be. I'm serious. Like, we dead ass, we need to be black. And I don't mean black in the sense of the color, but black in the sense of the culture. Like, we need to understand that, you know, even these shorties, you know what I mean? Like, these shorties that are out here gang banging and shooting up the parks and shit like that, that energy that they have needs to be redirected. Because they're hurting inwardly and they're projecting it outwardly onto whoever looks like them. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, we need to use them as little soldiers. You know what I'm saying? Little boys and girls. They need to be sitting up in somebody's military camp learning how to defend this motherfucking nation we need to build. You know what I mean? We are truly their karma. And I don't mean that just in a physical sense. I mean that in a spiritual sense because we are spiritual beings. They are not. They don't even have souls. So for real, at the end of the day, I'm being real. Their pineal gland is calcified, and that's the gateway to the spiritual realm. Your pineal gland. So if your joint is calcified, you can't. How do you get into the spiritual realm? So that's what I'm saying. We have spirits. They're hybrids. They come from us. They're hybrids, just like seedless grapes, seedless watermelons. You cannot have a watermelon or grape without a seed. They're hybrids. So at the end of the day, we need to understand that we are their karma. Read black when you're on the fucking train. Have 10 black books in your fucking hand. When you fucking pull up, look, man, when you pull up and you know what I mean? You pull up to a light, turn that Bob up, turn that Bob Marley up. You know what I'm saying? Turn that Dennis Brown up. Like be as black as you can be and be an intellectual. You know what I mean? Not educated, self-educated. You know what I mean? A lot of us go to these schools. We go to these schools and we get their degrees and that's it. Then we sit at home thinking about, damn, I want to get a job. And we end up working at Pizza Hut with 6 degrees and fucking student loan out the ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to understand that the path that they're laying out is for their people. You know what I mean? When we went to school, we got two different educations. We had one that was superior that learned how to be a fucking leader in the world. And you had another one that was getting an inferior education. You know what I mean? Like, they learned about George Washington, yeah. Abraham Lincoln, people who look like them. We learned about Martin Luther King, who was a brave man, but a passive aggressive man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, brother got the Nobel Peace Prize during the Civil Rights Movement. They gave you a peace prize during the war. That lets you know what they think about you. So at the end of the day, we need to understand that. Just basically that it's a system set up to make sure that we do not get ahead, that we continue to be oppressed. You know what I mean? Like depressed, exactly. Oppressed, suppressed. You know what I mean? All of that.
Yeah, depressed.
Super depressed.
All depressed.
All the press.
All the press.
Give us all the negative all the press. All of it.
Correct. All the negativity.
All of
they
it.
Definitely, yeah, they definitely be on that shit with us 24/7. And you are correct. And it's like, oh boy, just this goes back to us just really mining our gardens. Like, your mind is your biggest, it's like your biggest tool, and it's the biggest form of achievement that you will, you know, ever have. Like, it's nothing that anyone can do to you or take away from you, as long as you have a strong and cultured and developed mind that allows you to use alchemy to turn situations around constantly to make them work for you, as we have done, because that's what Black people do. Yep. Like, we have so much radical divineness in our blood, in our being. It's just like, it's just in our, it's our entire aura. Like, it's just what we are. Yep. And everyone can see that shit. And that's why they continue to fuck with us, because they know if we got to the point where, okay, so bro, what do you feel like you want to, you know, share it? Mm-hmm. What's one solution that we could use to be able to move forward as a culture?
I think the correct way to combat white supremacy is with Black supremacy. when I say that, what I'm saying is this. Whenever you say supremacist, when you put that on the end of the word, that cis on the end of the word, if I say I'm a pianist, then that means I'm an expert at, you know, playing the piano. If yeah, I'm a violinist, true. I'm an expert at, you know, that they call themselves white supremacists because they're experts at being devils. White, they're experts at that. They're experts at being savage and all of these other things. So for us, when I say Black supremacists, what I mean is we need more W.B. Du Boises. We need more Nat Turners. We need more people like Malcolm. We need more people like Betty Shabazz. We need more people like Ashanti Shakur, Afeni Shakur. We need more people that care about their people and are willing to sacrifice even their own lives to make sure that our people get ahead. I don't feel like if we're not willing to die for it, then we don't deserve it. And that's how white people think. They think if you're not willing to die for it, you don't deserve it. I mean, what do they do when they go to other people's country? They kill. They're willing to die for it. Right. So hold on, Tink. At the end of the day, I feel like if our people aren't willing to die for it and practice Black supremacy, because we're so worried about what other people think. I mean, I've never seen a group of people who suffer from Stockholm syndrome the way we do. We really sympathize with our oppressor. It's like a man or a woman that's raped in jail who sympathizes with the person who beat and took their man or womanhood. How do you sympathize with the person who took your woman or manhood? That's insane.
I'm not justifying it, but we know why. Because this has been years upon years of first the mental defamation, it's just a constant stripping of everything, culture, strip. So once they strip your identity and your culture, you don't have a language. Oh, you can't speak your language. You're going to get your ass whooped. Mm-hmm. Every time you come out your mouth and you say something that is not of what I taught you, you're getting your ass whooped. So it's just a constant breakdown of everything. Culture stripped. So now you have no identity. You have no words to even be able to express. You have nothing to pass down. Mm-hmm. You don't have any wealth. You don't have any pride. You, every fucking thing that we had was stripped from us. Every fucking thing.
And then that reason and what you just said makes absolute sense. And that's the reason why. And I told you, one of the greatest days in my life is when I went to their courthouse and I got my name changed. When I got my name changed, I felt like, and I know I did, I dropped the Anglo-Saxon name that was given to me, you know, by my father. It was his name. And I created my own name. And I felt liberated because I remember walking out of the courthouse and I remember this guy coming up to me. He worked there. He was like, yeah, it's over. You know, the process is like a month-long process.
If anybody's trying to name it, it's a month, like a month long process. But I was in that last week of it, and I was going to get my documents, and he was like, "You a Muslim?" And I was like, "Nah, brother, I'm not." I'm like, "I'm not a Muslim." He was like, "Oh, okay, your name, I just looking at the name and looking at me. He thought I was a Muslim, you know,
because of how you look,
because of how I look, and because of the name." And I just told my queen that. I said, "Hey, it's funny how no one, when you're disciplined and you have knowledge yourself, no one comes to you and says, 'Are you a Christian? Are you a Catholic?' They always say, 'Are you a Muslim?'" Right? They always say, "Are you a Muslim?" They never say, "Are you a Christian?" You know what I mean? Are you a Christian? They know damn well Christians and Catholics ain't got no damn discipline. You smell me? They know
damn
that.
Damn, no. You're right.
But at the end of the day, you know, like I said, we inherit the religions a lot of time. But you're absolutely right. They debased us. They took away things that gave us value. And that is why we suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. It's time that people like us and other people out there start waking people up. You don't have to, you know, everybody wants to be on a big stage on a global scale. Man, do shit in your neighborhood. You know what I mean? It's like, do shit in your neighborhood. Do shit at your job. Do shit with the group of people you work out with. Do shit with your family. That's where it starts, in the home and in the heart. You know what I mean? First, it starts in the heart, in the mind, in the soul. And then, you know what I mean? If that's your path, you could be on the stage. But at the end of the day, we have to learn how to make small impacts on people around us because they need it. You know what I mean? Like, they need
definitely.
It. You know, for real, they need it.
They definitely do. I mean, we all definitely need it. And I'm just really so grateful and thankful for you coming on to the show today. And also, if you want to shout out your podcast, and so people can go and follow you and listen to yours as well.
All right, cool. My John is gonna be a king of all I see, and I want to shout out all my brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora, and all my brothers and sisters in the POL, which is Poets of Liberation.
Yes. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thank you very much, Brother Anonymous. And thank you so much for just, you know, being a light, being yourself, being the person who you are. Like, you're awesome. Like, the dopest. So we are definitely going to be wrapping this up. And I just want to will you all much abundance, much love, much wholeness, much wellness, and very high vibrations. Like, just continue to just work on yourselves, because everything starts from within. Like, the more that we work on ourselves and help to cultivate love and high vibrations and good energy within, then we can just move forward. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Nah, because, you know, if I do, we'll be talking another hour, so no. Man, like, you know, me and Leah, man, we go all day. Like, man, please stop. Nah. I appreciate
for real. For real.
and look forward to you being on my jump. You know what I'm saying?
I'm definitely can't wait. Like, I'm so pumped. I'm so excited that we finally got our show completed. And I just look forward to listening to it myself. And I'm gonna talk to you anyway, so like we gonna be talking soon.
Cool.
All right, well, thanks so much, bro, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, peace.
All right.
No.
All right, my bad, bro. Don't know what happened, but we gonna continue. So you said he had a
gun. Always working to disrupt positive energy.
Dead ass.
Yeah, so the guy was, you know, got in the car with another guy, and the guy is like hanging out the window like one in the movie shooting a gun at the car. So my buddy had to make a decision. This is another thing that was spiritual, instinctive. He could have went left or right. If he went right, it would have been a dead end. If he went left, we were back out on the main street. He didn't know anything about the neighborhood. Instinctively, he made a left. We got away. We got a couple blocks down, and I noticed there was a hole in his back seat. He got shot in the back. So I waited for him to slow the car down, and I said, "Hey, man, you got shot in the back." I told him, and of course, he starts like damn near faint. Right when I said that, a police officer drove by. I flagged him down. and the bullet was like half an inch away from his spine. But the whole thing is, like, instinctively, something told me to look that way. If I wouldn't have trusted myself, you know what I mean, to just do something that simple, that guy would have got close to kill both of us.
Exactly.
My buddy wasn't, you know what I'm saying? He was looking for the address. So what I'm saying is, sometimes in situations, if you learn to listen to yourself, because like I said, our spirits are always trying to talk to us. But because we are spiritual beings having a human experience, a lot of people think it's the other way. You know what I mean? Like, they believe that it's just like all physical plane, is spirituality is a thing where they just gotta, they think religion is spirituality. That's a whole nother topic, but it's not. But anyway, a lot of people feel that way. So when their spirit is talking to them, they don't listen. You know what I mean? Like, when you know you're not supposed to do certain things, it's telling you not to do it, and you do it anyway, you're creating negative karma.
That's true.
Do it.
Exactly. That's my life, for real. Like, my spirit, I was like, no, thank you. I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you. Like, no, bitch, sit down. Like, hello, hello. Okay, I don't know what's going on, but it's like really breaking up badly. Can you hear me? Okay, perfect. So that, like, that is really one an amazing story, and it is like, it does tell you so much about, like, trusting yourself and trusting your instinct, because your higher self, they can definitely see. Like, I always can speak to, I always feel like whenever, like, I'm eating extremely clean and, like, really, really spiritually focused and meditating and really focusing on myself, period, more so than, like, focusing on other things, then I always have way more cognitive, like, spiritual awareness, and it's quick. It's like, it don't miss a beat. Like, it just, and my story, it's not like, it's not that, I mean, it's not that deep, but it's just like, and I feel like I've said this before too, but like, I'll just be so on point that I was in the club one time, and it was like people like standing above us, like, and we were like on the lower level, but water was like about to drop on my head, but I caught it before it dropped. So it was like stuff like that. When I'm so spiritually on point, those are the type of things that I could do. And it's like, you are a mini superhero if you just really trust in yourself and, like, believe in yourself. It's like you are really, like, a limitless being, for real.
And see, that's the thing. Like, our people are, like you said, we're limitless beings, but we've been debased. They've taken away the things that give us value. Your name, your land, your language, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, sure. You know, history. Those things make you who you are, you know, to a certain degree. So those things make you who you are. So we're not talking about, like, and I'm just saying, you know, European people, I know a lot of people love them to death because they believe hate is wrong. But I told you I over hate. So at the end of the day, for me, it's therapeutic, and I have no problem saying it. I'm good with me. But like I said, if we're spiritual beings, they're non-spiritual beings. That's why they do what they do. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that a lot of times what happens with us and our people is we end up living in the past, and we think about the past, we think about the future, but we don't think about the present day and time that we're in.
That's true.
When you do that too much, when you live in the past, then your present day, you can't really be the best you. And when you think about the future, you're not thinking about the present. It's like, if you're trying to make steps to progressively to become a better person, like I said, if you're practicing holistic health and you're trying to get into that type of thing, you can't look at somebody else all the time in comparison, because that might not be your ceiling. You know, we love comparing ourselves to people. You know what I mean? We love that. Oh, my this. Oh, he reads this many books. I need to read this many books. He does this. He eats this. At the end of the day, it's all a process. If any of us were perfect, we wouldn't be here, because this is the training ground here on this physical plane.
True that.
And you have a lot of people who, you know, are kind of, you know, getting back to the karma thing, like you have a lot of people who are wrapped up in their desires. And like I'm talking about what you see, feel, taste, hear, smell. And whenever your desires over your mind enslaves your soul. Me and you talked about that. So mm-hmm. a lot of people do not have control over their desires at all. And that right there is the leading cause of you starving and you having this negative accumulation of karma, is because our desires are usually controlled by who controls our mind. And mm-hmm. Big Brother is working 365, you know what I'm saying, 24/7, making sure they're trying to control our thoughts.
For real.
You know what I'm saying? So we need to be aware of that. Like, okay, you know, at the end of the day, put yourself around people. And I'm just being me. I'm anti-establishment. Me, you know what I mean? I mess with people like that. Like I like warriors. I don't need, like, you know what I mean? Like people around me that are weak. I love being around people who have strong spirit. Like me and you, like you said, when we met, it was like instant. Like, that's why I call you sus. Cause I feel like me and you, we are related. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's like, man, me and you clicked because we both had that warrior spirit. Like, we both was like, man, we know we better than this, and we both got out the situation. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
That's the type of thing that you have to do. You have to be around people who motivate you. I remember you saying, yeah, you should go do this with you. When I was trying to get my license to do this and that, you were like, yeah, you should do it. And when you were telling me about you doing your art, I was like, yeah, you could do it. That's dope. Like, we pushed each other and motivated each other. But if we were subordinate, or if we were the type of people that conformed, then we wouldn't have did that. It'd be like, oh, why are you trying to leave here? We making this much money. You know what I'm saying? Are we doing
exactly.
this?
Exactly.
No. You want to be around people who are going to push you to be the best you can be. And people who see you for what you are supposed to be, not for what you are at the time. Like, I love exactly. people that say, hey, yo, you, like, you a king, you a god, you more than that. Like, you a queen, you more than that, more than what you're portraying. You know, it's like, we need to be around people that are like that instead of pushing us to go forward.
That's true. That's true. We definitely need the support, the love and encouragement. And we need more of it. Like, cause we just thrive better. Like we just thrive better when you have the love and support. Like, if you don't have nobody loving and supporting you, period, it's going to be hard to do anything you got to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Extremely difficult. But yeah, did you have any other things that you wanted to add or discuss?
Oh, you know I do. On that pork on the fork. I've been a vegetarian for, I'll say, maybe about 13 years. And what I noticed is, I'm going to talk about how I became one, because I don't want people to think like it's just like this thing that just happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can make a conscious decision to become one, but I'm just saying, for me, it wasn't a conscious decision at first. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can't hear you that much. You said you can't hear me?
I can hear you. You can't hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay.
I had a situation at a restaurant. I'm happy it happened. I was at a supposedly Asian restaurant, and mm-hmm. it was a buffet, and there was a cockroach in the orange chicken. Now, when this happened, you know, I've always been the type of person that kind of, like, you know, shuffles through my food or whatever, and saw it, you know, whatever, and I was grossed out bad. 2 months didn't eat meat. I'm like, I ain't eating meat. Then I started eating meat, got like ill. I never been this ill in my life. I mean, I was ill, like body aching, all types of stuff. And I said, okay, something is wrong with meat, right? So mm-hmm. I stopped eating meat. You know what I mean? I took the fork off the pork, stopped eating meat and everything. And then I got into karma and karmic debt. And I said, man, I started reading on us accumulating karmic debt through the thing. Eat, because you know you can't get something for nothing. If something dies, somebody has to pay for that. you can't just kill, or something gets killed, you have it on your plate, you get to sustain your life, and that thing is dead physically. Once you put that thing in your body, it becomes a part of you. That's why they say you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it only makes sense that when you eat a pig, you start acting like one. You know, when you eat a cow, you start acting like one. You know, when you make your body a graveyard, it's only right that if you pass on, you come back as the animal that you were acting like, because, you know, in our brain, we have the limbic and our complex part of our brain that we share with, you know, animals.
Mm-hmm.
So we already have that in us. So it only makes sense that, like I told you, if you're acting like a savage, you come back as a savage creature.
Mm-hmm.
Acting like, you know what I'm saying, a bad bitch, or you come back as a bitch, a dog. You know what I mean? It only makes sense. Me and you were talking about the wheel of 84. So that thing is like, it's 84 million different species on this planet. So you could come back as anything, you know, bird, cockroach, ant, whatever the case may be, you could come back as anything. And a lot of people don't take that. Pardon me.
I said, damn.
I mean, that's it's crazy when you think about it. A lot of people don't take that into consideration. You know,
they don't.
They don't at all. And the thing is, it is. It's scary. And at the end of the day, you got people who are selling you. If you've ever watched any of those slaughter DVDs, if you watch any of those, man, the way those animals are treated, that the way the animals are treated when they're killed is crazy. Then you're putting all of the steroids in your body, all of the testosterone from them when they're being killed is how you put that in your body. You're putting all of these chemicals in your body, the growth hormones they use. You're putting all this in your body and you don't even know it. You know what I mean? Just, you know, like, there's life after meat. So a lot of people don't think that. They love to go to Crack Donald's, Crack Castle, Crack King. They think they can't live without it. And at the end of the day, it's truly an addiction. Just like it's an addiction to crack cocaine or sugar or salt. We have with meat. I mean, we consume the most meat out of anybody, and it's not healthy at all. You know what I mean? It's not healthy at all.
No, it's
and
not.
To understand how that's tied into karma too, because we don't think about that. So, you know, that's one thing that I know a lot of people are not aware of. And like I said 84 million, but it might be more by now. That number might have increased. So you could come back as anything. I mean, think about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's part of your karma too. So people wonder why they're doing everything right. Like, they might hear this podcast and say, man, I'm doing this right, I'm doing that right. But then they go out and get them a steak with potatoes and carrots. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then things in their life are not going the way they wanted to. A lot of that is because you've done that. You know what I'm saying? You've partaken in that slaughter.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people wouldn't go out and kill their own food if they had to.
No.
Everybody's with the fat white guy with the suspenders, you know, slaughtering a pig, but then putting it in the grocery store for you to go get it. But if you had to go do it, people wouldn't do it.
Hell no, I definitely wouldn't do that shit.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody would do it. But, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like crazy, you know, and we need to be aware of that.
We definitely do need to be aware of a lot more things. These things, they don't happen overnight. Like,
no.
Like, you was literally one of the people who really encouraged me to be a vegetarian as well. Even like, I'd be wanting to eat chicken too. That's because I eat eggs, and that's like a direct correlation. I'd be like, I'd be wanting to eat chicken, but then I'd be like, damn, I can't do it.
and that's another thing. That's why they say you are what you eat. That's why we always be fucking cowards, because we eat a lot of chicken and you're scary. You hide behind motherfuckers. Like when it's revolutionary, motherfuckers is chickens. So at the end of the day, truly are what you eat, man. And like you said, it does not happen overnight. But we have to have people that are brave enough to tell people, hey, stop that shit. Stop the excuses. Let's go ahead and make it happen. Because when it's time, you know what I mean? Like, I like to say, when it's time and we need our soldiers on the front line, you know what I'm saying? You need healthy, you know what I'm saying, free thinking, spiritual people who are not fucking polluted. You know what I'm saying? Like mentally, physically, or spiritually.
That's true.
So we need that. You know what I'm saying? We're going to need our sisters to not have back aches and, you know what I'm saying, high blood pressure and all of those other things so you can pass it on to our seeds. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true that.
We don't need all of that, you know? So that's something, like I said, that's very important. You know what I mean? I think people really need to be aware of and take it into consideration. Next time you pull up to Cracknonald's, think about Brother Anonymous and say, nah, give me the side salad. You know what I'm saying? Like,
probably not from McDonald's, though, because they salads feel weak.
They trash. Then another thing people have to be aware of, too, is cross-contamination when you're doing that, because you can go to Crack King. They got a veggie burger now, Morningstar veggie burger. But they're putting it on the same
grill. And it's disgusting, too.
Yeah, they put that burger on the same grill they put the other burgers on. They don't have a veggie grill at Crack King, you know? They don't do that. They don't take you into consideration. So that's cross-contamination.
That's true. You know, they definitely don't.
If you ever go to Subway or one of those places, you see them make your vegetarian sandwich, they cut it with the same knife they cut a turkey sandwich with, meatball. They don't switch it up.
That's true. They definitely don't. You're definitely right about that. The only way, shit, you damn near could be safe these days is you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
And that's the real right there. We need to go back to the OG ways of doing it. Before we were in all of these restaurants trying to be like white folk, thinking we're eating good when we're really killing ourselves, eating French fries that are not fried but boiled. You know what I'm saying? Like, before we were doing shit like that, we were cooking our own meals. We were going to the grocery store and we were making meals that lasted for a few days. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true that.
I remember my mother cooking and we would sit at the table and eat the same damn thing 2 days in a row. But we would sit at the table and actually converse about our day. When's the last time you seen a black family like sit at the fucking table and converse about their day? you got the son in the room cursing the baby mama out eating. You got the father downstairs in his man cave. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got the mother talking to your auntie about the father being in his man cave. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody eating, but we separate. So that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, we need to get back to those old school values. They had less than us, but they had more than us.
Oh, heck yeah. Feel we me? Do need to get back to our roots.
We got to get back. We got to get back. And we need to stop letting the beast distract us, man. So many distractions out here.
So many distractions. Oh, unfortunately. I'm trying to stop distracting my own damn self.
Now, hey, I mean, but a lot of those things, I'm telling you, man, if you sit down and you jot down distractions, you know what I'm saying? Things that are in my way. A lot of those things are things that we make choices about. You feel me? Like, we consciously make choices about shit like that. Like, a lot of times we feel like we're no better than the suffering we get. Like, that's not true, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I understand. I understand perfectly. I understand it. Like, we just definitely have a lot of growing and developing to do. Like, just a lot of growing and development. But I feel like in a lot of ways, we're still, it's a lot of people that are out here doing better and are reaching. They want to get to their higher selves. They want to be on a different level. We just taking it one day at a time. And you got time. Like, they always want to say, life is short. Life is short. You got a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah. And if you make the wrong decisions, you're going to have a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be right back here. So at the end of the day, like you said, you know, every living day, every minute, every second, time that time that they're talking about is an illusion. That's not real. Nature does not know what 4 days. That's not how it works. But at the end of the day, we understand what they're using their artificial time for, to keep track of dates and times and, you know, all that bullshit. But like you said, we do have time. And you can't be afraid to take that step. Like, man, at the end of the day, don't try to fit in where you were born to stand out. A lot of us, are born to stand out, but we love fitting in. We love making other people convenient. At the end of the day, if a person don't want to rock with the fact that you're trying to become a better you mentally, spiritually, or physically, what you need to do is understand how to open the door and give them a little push and then close the door.
Dead ass. Seriously.
Because at the end of the day, all you're doing is stunning my growth. I wear a size 10. You got me in an 8. Like I'm hurting over here, bro. Like I'm not growing. Like I'm hurting trying to walk next to you. You know what I mean? I need to be comfortable. So a lot of times you have to let go of things to get things. You never gain without letting go of something. You have to give up something to get something.
Ooh, man. You speaking to the choir right now, bro. For real. Like, I'm so in the uncomfortable zone right now because I'm trying to get over to the next level. Oh my gosh. And I'm being tempted so hard. I'm being tempted so hard. Like, my weaknesses.
Hey, but you know what though, man? At the end of the day, you have to look at it like whenever you have a weakness, you have to look at it like, man, you have to find something that means more to you than that weakness does, if that makes sense. So if you really care about, you know what I'm saying, what you're doing, and like you said, you're struggling with that, you gotta find something that kind of like makes that weakness look like, man, I'm gonna work on this. I mean, it's easier said than done, because I've been there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, I know you're a very, very intelligent person, but one thing I can say about you is and spiritually like develop, but I know one thing, you're gonna keep it real. You know what I'm saying? So I know if you say you struggling, you around this bitch struggling, you know what I'm saying? So I know.
Am the struggle.
Hey, but at the end of the day, You've made it thus far. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, trust me. I feel you. You know, I feel you.
You said, I know if you're struggling, you're struggling.
I'm struggling. Bro, I know.
Bro, man, like, I just, I'm like, and it's like I'm almost there. Like, I could feel it. Like, I'm almost there, but it's just like, Just stay focused. And so many different things are coming at me like, okay, I know you want to do this. I know for a fact that you want to do this, Leah.
Hey, you remember that John? You remember that John and Truman show?
Yeah.
That's what it's like, though. He was trying to get to who he really was, but they had all of this artificial bullshit and these people around him. And he was just trying to figure out who he was.
Yeah.
Something inside of him, he knew it wasn't right. So that's kind of like the whole thing. Like, we know this shit ain't right, and these people are nothing but distractions. So once you move them out the way and you stand the test of time, like, you know what? Like I said, my spiritual journey and my growth and development as a spiritual being is more important than your physical bullshit, even when it comes to, I don't like to say sex, but intercourse, because a lot of people don't have sex, they have intercourse. So when you're having, intercourse is different than sex. So when you're doing that, you can expect some shortcomings with intercourse. With sex, you can't really expect the shortcomings because it's a sacred energy exchange. So,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole different experience. That's like a look in your eyes, old Sade in the background, incense going. What you want to eat? Do you want to massage? You smoke squares, but fuck it. Like,
I don't smoke squares, but fuck it.
It's one of them type Johns, but you know, at the end of the day,
you funny bro for that.
Thing. So that struggle that a lot of people feel with the physical, and I'm talking about just that part of it, the intercourse versus sex thing, that type of situation is definitely one of them situations where you could get caught up in some shit because, hey, come on, who don't want to feel good? I mean, it's just, you know, like, you know. It's,
exactly.
At the end, we struggle, you know.
Yeah, and that's my biggest hurdle, my biggest struggle in life that I've been trying to get through for a while. But now I'm almost there. I just gotta just get through. I think like a couple more months, then I'll be okay.
and that's cool. You gotta
it's
love.
It's not cool, but it's okay.
I understand it's not. understand.
It's not cool, but it's cool.
No, I feel you. I feel you.
Because like you said, at the end of the day, the reward is bigger. Like, I have a bigger picture that I see, and I know, like, man, once you get through this, then you're going to be able to get over this obstacle, this hurdle. And it's going to be okay. Like, and honestly and truly, like, I'm doing way better than I thought that I could have possibly been doing. But it's getting to the point where, you know, you can go and then it gets to a point where it's like, damn, I'm at my breaking point right about now. And the universe knows you're at your breaking point, and that's when shit really about to be like thrown at you. Like, okay, you about to break now? Breaking. How about I help you with this breakage? But that's okay. I'm gonna put some, you know, I'm gonna duct tape it up. I'm gonna fix it, and I'm gonna, you know, get through it. And that's all you can do. It's like when you can see that little tiny light at the end of the tunnel, you just need to just keep on looking at the light. It's just like, turn beast mode on, turn like you said, like you just suggested, like, look at the bigger picture and think about what's more important.
Man, I had a point where I remember when I read a book on auras. It was talking about your auras. And in there, they were talking about your reproductive, you know, system and stuff. And they had a section on sex. And they were explaining the difference between the two. Like I said, intercourse, a man entering the course, which is the woman. And then they were talking about sex, which is an exchange of sacred energy. So I'm like, man, I started reading it. And I remember, like, you know, my queen was like, man, she was like, what's up? You know, it's time, you know, let's do something. And I was like, I don't want to do intercourse. she was like, what? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do intercourse. I want to have sex. Like, you know, and she was looking at me like, okay, dude, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm trying to break it down to her and she didn't get it. And I remember I got frustrated and we didn't have sex for like months.
What?
I promise. So you think your struggle is real. And that's my queen with two of my seeds. And that was years ago. But I remember that shit because I really felt like she had to understand the union. You know what I'm saying? I felt like, man, I love this woman, but for all this time, you know what I'm saying? I've been doing this and that. And when I promise you, when I finally got her to understand and we started doing that, it was like George Clinton and Funkadelics, like,
a totally different thing, right?
It was, but that's what I'm saying. So sometimes if you know what I'm saying, if you could kind of wait and understand, like, man, anybody can do the other thing, but it truly takes, you know what I'm saying, somebody to touch your soul to have sex with you, though. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
intercourse is, like I said, that's an in and out, boom. Or it ain't even got to be that. It could be great, but at the end of the day, you still feel a void. So with sex, you don't feel a void. You can have sex with somebody you care about. I mean, really care about. And even if you and that person, if you truly care about each other, you still can be cool. Everything can be smooth. And you can look at that person in their eyes, like, with that respect. Like, we good. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
yeah,
with intercourse, it's totally different.
You right. It ain't no respect there.
And that's another thing. Accumulation of negative karma. You're using somebody for their reproductive organ. That is not good.
I got a lot of negative karma then.
Oh.
It's just like, I used to be like, man, like, I don't need you no more. Just get out of my face. Get out of my way.
Black Widow.
What is that? What is the Black Widow?
They kill they mate.
Really? The spider?
Hell yeah.
Damn. Yeah, and that's what I'm working on not being. Like, I don't want to be that type of woman anymore. I want to get to the next level. Like, can you be better than you were before? Because all these years of you being like this, you didn't understand, you didn't get it. You just was like, okay, this is like whatever to me. I really don't care about you. Like, I really just need to manipulate this situation to make it what I think it needs to be in order to get what I want and you can move forward. But I can't live my life like that anymore. So it's time to get it in order.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? But hey, the grind, I feel you. The grind is real. The struggle is real. You know, I feel you on that.
But what you said made a whole bunch of sense because, like, at the end of the day, like, people need to understand. And, like, but me going through this by myself and, like, not having a partner to understand this, somebody coming in, like, and trying to get them to understand, I can't even foresee that either. Like, I'm like, I don't even know how it's going to work when I be, like, trying to date again, trying to explain that to somebody, like, look, this is what it needs to be. This is what you need to understand. But that's also, like, getting that person to mirror me, and that person needs to be like me and be on my level.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, I, like me, I think me and you had a conversation before, and I was telling you, I forgot which one it is. It might be a robin. It's one of those birds anyway. Before the males, you know, when they're courting a bird, they all have to build a nest. So she goes to the different nests and she finds out which one is the most sturdy, stable, you know, for her future children. And that's how she picks her mate. Ice even do it before a female mouse or whatever has intercourse, whatever they have with the male. The male has to find a, you know, sufficient living, you know what I'm saying, space. We do it. And we're human beings. Do it. Women have, especially black women, you know what I'm saying? I like to say sun-kissed. I don't like to say black, but sun-kissed women have a unique and divine and special energy. Like, y'all can come in a room, who's to be, like, talking, and y'all can make a motherfucker mute, like, quiet. And y'all had to have an opportunity to pick y'all mates. So at the same time, it's like being patient and understanding your self-worth. It's like, dude, I'm not about to sell myself short because you can't understand what the hell I'm saying. I'm telling you that I don't do the intercourse thing, but I will engage in this and that if the energy is right. Like, if a dude like, well, shit, I'll just do, like, dude, you ain't for me. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of sisters don't use their energy in the right way. Like, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of guys don't either. Guys, you know, black men or sun-kissed men have a unique energy too. And we don't use it right because I've come in contact with women. I've told, hey, I'm married. And they like, yeah, so what's up? You know what I'm saying?
They can give a damn.
Yeah, and I tell my queen, I'm like, dude, I'm like, when I go out, women don't care. I said, but you know what I do? I spit my king shit. I'm like, you know what, sister? Because you ain't finna get what you want from me. So I might as well. This old knowledge bomb on you right quick. You know what I'm saying? And I talk to him and I tell him, like, man, you out here real, you know what I'm saying, thirsty, and you look very desperate, and you understand that you're a queen, and you come from, you know, I tell him, like, who the fuck is you doing? You know what I'm saying? But that's what we need to learn how to do as guys. When a woman is straying off the path, we need to put them back on it. And a lot of dudes don't do that because they're so preoccupied with getting the draws. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh, hell yeah. They can't forever 1 minute tell you, like, look, this is what you're worth. But it's crazy how it takes certain things. Like, I was watching this one woman on YouTube, and she was like, everything she said, it sounded so fucked up to me, but it made so much fucking sense at the end of the day, because it's like, it's what you're worth. And I never really thought, like, I mean, I thought highly of myself. I thought, like, oh, you worth this, you worth that. But I'll always date men that's, like, under me so I could control them and manipulate the situation. And that's just basically what it was. But it's like, at the end of the day, I can't try to control other people. I can't try to manipulate other people. I have to, like, be a partner if that's what I choose and want to be. And that's not, you know, that's not what I was trying to be. I was more so like trying to just get what I wanted, which it doesn't work out for you that way. But she was like saying, like, man, if a man come to you and he don't have this, that, and the third, which I really never really understood that. I would always be like, well, men don't have to really have all these things, but he really does have to have, you know, his own car, his own place, his own responsibilities, and taking care of those responsibilities And you have to actually see him doing that shit. And then there's a price of you too. Like, I cost fucking money. Like, I don't, I'm not like, it's a certain upkeep that comes with me. I got two fucking children. I got, you know, a lot of different things to maintain. And I always felt like trying to put a price on that was like trying to sell yourself. But it's literally what you have to do in certain situations. It's just like, I cost this. Like, like, this is maintaining a vehicle. If you don't have money to pay for the insurance, to pay to get oil changes, to put gas in your car, you and then pay your car note if you got one, you not gonna be able to keep this vehicle, period.
Yep.
So it's like, a lot of men will say, oh, you know, you're a gold digger, you just want money, you just want this, that, and the third. No, there's upkeep that comes with having a woman, having a family, having a person that you want all these things from. You want me to be in there cooking and cleaning and taking care of the house and doing this, that, and the third, but you can't even give me $20 to pay for half of to get my nails done because it's going to cost way more than $20. It's like, or you can't give me, you know, even if you like, you can't help with nothing. Like, no, you need to be able to be a partner. Like, and a person, and not saying that I would need a man to do any of that for me, because I can still do it for myself, but I'm just saying, like, what can you contribute to my life and my lifestyle? What are you worth to me? Because you can't just be out here like, oh, you don't have this, that, and the third, it's okay. And then them niggas that don't have this, that, and the third, they be like wanting you to baby them, wanting you to like do all these things where it's like, I already have kids. I don't need that in my life.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna drop a jewel, because I do this with my family members, and I do it with people that I'm close to all the time. I think whenever a man and a woman meet each other, or just relationship, they don't have to be intimate. It could be two guys who just cool, or, you know, a guy and a woman or whatever, you know. The number one question, especially though, if you're an intimate person, should ask is, who are you? So when you ask that question, you're going to have somebody who says, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. And that's not, I'm not asking you what you do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you what you do. I'm asking you, who are you? And, you know, don't pull out your driver's license and say Jonathan Edwards. No, because if I take that driver's license and throw it out this car while we're driving, that's not going to hurt you. So that's not who you are. I want to know, who are you? If a person cannot answer that question, especially not in a relationship, an intimate one, because if they don't know who they are, you think you know who they are, you're misleading yourself the whole time because they don't even know. So, bam. It's hard for you to sit here and try to tell me who I am, and I don't fucking know myself.
True that. That's so true.
You going on this 15, 10-year, 5-year, 1-year ride with me, and you like, you know what? You lazy, you stiff, you this, you that. You probably fucking right. I don't even know who the fuck I am. You know? So when I ask people that question in my family, like I said, people I'm close to, a lot of people don't know. I've got a lot of people, I've stunned a lot of people with that. They go into this, man, I'm a Sunni Muslim, I do this and that. And I say, hey, hold on, brother, who are you? And they don't know. But you telling me that you're a Muslim and you believe in this and that, or you telling me you're a Christian and you believe in this, that shit don't matter to me. I want to know who you are. And like I said, if a person can't answer that question right there, and they need to go and self-reflect. So when I was asked that question, what I said was, I'm a spiritually enlightened being. That's what I am. That's who I am.
Exactly.
Plain and simple.
That's because you know yourself. And 9 times out of 10, people, they don't know their real selves. They don't know their higher selves. They're not even really trying to get to know them, their higher selves. And like, saying these things, that's not shade. That's not trying to be any type of way. It's just the reality of the situation, and we all need to get there. that is the most important thing that I feel I could ever do for my children or for myself, is just to know who I am as an individual, like you said.
Yep. You know that? Oh my God. You can go hard because you got your base. You got your foundation.
Exactly.
With no foundation, no base, a weak foundation, weak base, anybody can come into your life in and out. You left a damn door crack wide open sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
You got to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? And I've been fortunate enough in my short tenure here, in this physical body, I've met a lot of cool people and a lot of elders who guided me down the path and have put the pressure on me. Like, they don't let me off the hook. And that's what I love about people who care about you. They do not let you off the fucking hook. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's true.
I got people that, man, I'm talking about to drill your ass to the death. You know what I'm saying? If you say 1 + 1 = 2, they gonna say, why you think that? And you gonna say, well, it is. And they gonna say, well, hey, if you and your lady had your son, that's 3. So my point is, it's always a different way to look at shit. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, though. That's definitely facts. Well, thank you very much, bro, like, for coming on to the show and for talking to us today. Like, this was very beneficial. Like, is there anything else you want to add or say
sign off? Peace to all the brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora, no matter where you at. If you're in the motherland, you know what I'm saying? If you're in South America, a brother or sister that's trapped in the wilderness of North America, peace to all us, and we need to unite. You know what I'm saying? Peace to all of us. And we need to unite because it's not about what religion you belong to. Your skin is your sin. So we need to make sure we come together under one umbrella and bang on the beast.
Dang. Well, that's powerful. Yes. We appreciate and accept all that. Thank you very much for all the love. So I just will everybody much wholeness, much wellness, much abundance in everything that you do. Know that you are a limitless being and that you have the capabilities to soar beyond your wildest dreams. So thank you very much again for coming on here with us and talking to us and sharing this beautiful information that you have. Like, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you.
Same here, sis.
Alrighty then. Well, we shall talk later, bro. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Peace.
All right.
Yo.
What up? Yo. Golden Shaman here. Hey. So I have a special guest. What up, bro?
Yeah, what's going on?
Nothing much. How you feeling today?
I can't complain. Beautiful.
Good. Now, that's what's up. Now, do you want to give us a little bit of a background about yourself?
Okay. At the end of the day, I'm like a lot of people who grew up in the inner city. I went to school on the south side of Chicago. I grew up, I'm 63rd in Drexel, 51st in State, 63rd in Princeton. So in the inner city, like I said, you know, and when I was going to school, you know, a lot of the curriculum, really, I couldn't relate to it. So I always knew it was something different about our people and what the images they were projecting, you know, upon us. So at a certain point in my life, I felt like that I had to go on this journey to find a knowledge of self. And once I started going on that journey, I started running into like-minded people, and I learned so much about holistic health and the spiritual path. So that's what led me to where I am today.
That's what's up. Like, it's really so great to be led down a spiritual journey. Like, it's just amazing. Like, I love it. And it was, like, super cool because that's, like, the time where I met you, it was like I was kind of like probably at the Not really. I guess it was like the beginning, like because I had just really started to like get into the knowledge, and it was just like so great to meet someone that was just so similar and so like-minded. Like it was super dope. So I definitely appreciate, you know, us being spiritual buddies. So the first thing, so what we're going to do is have a conversation around karma today. So the first thing I want to ask is, like, what do you think karma is, or like, what does karma mean to you?
Okay, so in a general sense, I mean, most people kind of know what karma is. You know, it's kind of like an aforenigh, cause and effect. I usually say the consequences of all of your actions. But what a lot of people don't take into account is we have different types of karma. So you have your past life karma, your current life karma, and a karma you're accumulating now for your lives that you're going to have to, you know, live in the future.
Exactly. So what do you think, like, how do you think universal laws affect your karma?
Now, you know, I'm going to say this, like, it was a point in time where, of course, when I was younger, one of my aunts, she was a real, I don't want to say, she was a fake church going woman. And she used to, every night, she would subject me to these Babel, I don't call it the Bible, but the Babel stories. She would subject me to these Babel stories. So when I would listen to them, the stories were interesting. I thought these people were amazing. I'm like, man, you know, walking on water, this dude saved all these people, got animals like lions and hyenas together, and they didn't fight on this big boat. It was crazy. But I was like, man, it's miraculous type thing. But then when I started, like I said, when I set out on a spiritual path and I got into the universal laws and compensation and, you know what I mean, cause and effect and attraction and all these type of things, I started to see that at the end of the day, a lot of times, those laws are the laws that govern my life. Like, no matter what you believe in, universal law definitely governs over your life. You can be a Christian, you can be a Muslim, you can be a Catholic, you can be a Buddhist, you can believe in Yahweh, Yahshua, you know, whatever, Allah, whatever you want to believe in. At the end of the day, universal law is what really counts and governs over each and every one of our lives.
True that, for real. So do you feel like your past lives, and because we all know, like, energetically, like, we're energetic beings, like, energy could never be destroyed or created. So, like, your soul is something that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's why it's, like, extremely important to get through trauma, recognize your trauma, and to be able to deal with it so that you can improve your karma in life. How do you feel like your past lives, your parent issues, or different things that you might have experienced before you came into this part of your being on this energetic plane, like on this universal plane, how you feel like that affects you?
In a major, major way, because I definitely believe in karmic relationships. I had a conversation with my father one time. I remember when I was a young man, my father is kind of like a, you know, kind of a street dude, and my mother is like a corporate type. So them getting together was kind of odd. Like when I got older, I understood, but like they grew up in the same neighborhood, blase, blase. My mother took a different path. But I remember when I was a young man, I wanted to be like my father. And I remember getting older, and like I said, getting on the spiritual path and understand the energy. And I told my father, I said, man, I said, you're my elder physically, but spiritually I'm yours. And, you know, a lot of people would think that's disrespectful towards your parent. But what we don't understand is, like I said, through karmic relationships, we sometimes our children are our karma. I know sometimes you see children in the store or maybe family members at barbecues or picnics or who just come over, and your cousin or your aunt has no control over their children. They just are helter skelter, no matter what they say, no matter how many whoopings, any of that stuff. they go crazy. And your aunt or your cousin, whoever, is almost damn near pulling their hair out, like stressed them because they can't deal with the child. Then when they get to be a teenager, they start going to juvie and, you know, they start getting in real trouble. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So a lot of times our children are our karma. And sometimes our parents are our karma. I know it's hard, you know what I mean, to hear what I'm about to say. But even like that little girl who's playing in the park who gets shot, that's part of her karma.
Mm-hmm.
Either somebody else is sowing, and she just so happened to be the beneficiary of it, or she did something in her past life for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We can't see things on the other side, so a lot of times things like that seem crazy for us to hear, but it's true.
Yeah, that it definitely is true. And also, like, spiritually, like, from what I've been learning from a spiritual standpoint also, sometimes when you made that pact with your egg bae, which is your spiritual homie, when you were, like, in the spirit realm, sometimes when children, like, go really young, they made a pact with them, like, dang, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go to Earth real quick, I'm gonna do whatever I'm supposed to do, and I'm coming back. So it's like, sometimes, like you said, it's so many different lessons to learn here, and how they're being applied, it's like we can't understand it and we can't see it because, I don't know, sometimes you just so jaded from whatever happened before you got here, or you just so off track that it's just like you can't see things for the reality of the situation, which I always say that.
Yeah,
but you really can't. So it's like you made this pact to come here and to accomplish a certain amount of things. You told, like, this is not the first time you're interacting with spirits, other people, period. So it's like you don't know what you told the people before you came, your spiritual homies before you came. So I'm going to leave, like, the definition of egg bay in the notes, because I know people probably like, what the hell are you talking about? But that's just what I've been, like, learning, getting deeper into, like, the spiritual side of things. And that has to do with, like, the orishas and those different spiritual realms. So that's all I had to add about that. But what else? But oh yeah, so like I really feel like karma sometimes have a lot to do with the trauma that you have, or some things that you feel might be traumatic. Do you feel like as a person, everything that you're experiencing is a direct reflection of your own personal, like, energy and your own personal self according to universal law, or do you feel like there's divine order in it as well?
I feel like it's a mixture of the two, because I know sometimes instinctively I've done things that I know had to be spiritual in order to save lives, like literally save people's lives. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I know that I wouldn't have been able to do that. Just me being unaware or unconscious, I wouldn't have been able to do that. You know what I mean? Because it was like instinctively looked that way. And I'm not like fighting it, like for what? You know, we have conversations with ourselves. You know, you know, your spirit is always talking to your mind, or, you know what I mean? Like, and yeah. So you converse with yourself, you know, and a lot of people, by the way, think there's something's wrong with that, but it's not. You always have to, do self-reflections and analyze yourself. And when you're having that conversation with yourself, a lot of times you're able to come to a conclusion, you know what I'm saying, about some things before they even happen. But yeah. I've seen that myself, you know what I mean, where I've used instinct, you know, and to like I said, you know, make a situation go in a desired way, or like I said, change the outcome of one. And if you don't mind, I can give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, definitely do.
All right, so like what I'm talking about, like one time, you know, I used to do music when I was younger. So when I was, you know, maybe around like 19 years old, me and one of my buddies, not a gangbanger, none of that. He had a Caprice. So, you know, he's like, man, let's go get your cousin. My cousin lived on 91st and May. So we came from the western suburbs to 91st and May around 7 or 8 o'clock. You know, we get on the block, you know, where she lives. And she told us the address. And the guy, you know what I mean, was like looking for the address. And I was going to let my cousin sit in the front seat, you know, be her being a woman. So I got in the back. We went to the gas station before we got, you know, got to her. I got in the back. I'm like, hey, you know what I mean? So he's looking for the address or whatever. And something told me, hey, man, look to your left. You know what I mean? I look to my left. It's a guy coming at us with like a 22, a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's coming toward us, and the guy starts shooting at the car. But before he starts shooting at the car, I tell my buddy, hey, he got a gun. Take off. So.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? It is the Golden Shaman. Hey.